This one's for you, Mike. The most depressing podcast ever.
Hello, this is Bruce O'Hughes.
This is Justin Wasson. And this is The Break-Ins.
Welcome back for week two of The Break-Ins. We are mic-less this week.
Yeah, no mic.
And by that I mean Mike Adams. Yeah. Not the microphones.
Yeah, we were going to try using a tin can and string, but we thought it'd sound better.
Way too much better, and we know our loyal listener, I'd like to stress the fact that that's singular.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, well, I was thinking legally I can only marry one woman.
So oh, okay.
It was my wife.
So you wanted to talk about the comics that you wanted to do as a kid, and now you don't want to do anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just bitter and cynical or tired and old, or I've learned a lot from Stan Lee.
Well, true believer, why don't you tell me what you learned?
I learned that Stan Lee pretty much created American comics, and he is kind of snubbed. You know, the guy should be the richest man in America. Mm-hmm. I've eaten cereal based on his characters. I've watched cartoons. You know, I shouldn't say just Stan Lee. Jack Kirby fans are pretty adamant. Creators in general just don't get the recognition, don't get the love. I'm talking beyond money, just names on certain things. And while I think everyone has a good Batman or a good Spider-Man story in them, I can't imagine anyone wants to spend the rest of their lives working on those characters. Or maybe it's just easier for certain people to think. Maybe I'm one of those people.
Now, so would you spend your lifetime working on a character that you created then?
I don't even know if I could do it with one of my own characters.
Mm-hmm. What about, what about Eric Larson and Savage Dragon?
I don't know. I think he's found a relatively good workaround with, like, his Super Patriot miniseries mm-hmm. and his Freak Force. And he's got a couple of different ideas, and he touches on them every now and then. Hmm. And I got to be honest with you, Eric Larson and Savage Dragon, it's had its moments when it's been an awful book. Had its moments when it's been an amazing book, in my opinion. So even though he has stuck with it, maybe he shouldn't have. I think eventually I will get tired of Clobber and I'll move on to something else. I've got a billion different ideas, each of them worse than the last one. Probably spend some time on those. Hmm. And I'm not knocking Spider-Man or Batman or any of those. I would work on them, just I don't know if I'd be happy doing it for the rest of my life.
I would love to just work on anything right now. I am not doing anything.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day how, this might be talking about another podcast, but how a couple years ago it was a flip for you and I. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff, and you were, you know, between projects. And now it's, you're doing knockout, and I'm just not doing much.
Here's stuff that happened to me this week. I'm desperate for feedback. We talked about that roughly 7 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not getting any. So I went and registered on a couple of different comic book forums.
Mm-hmm.
Penciljack.com.
Mm-hmm.
I registered there and posted some art. Did the whole friendly, hey, and I'm looking for feedback, wanting to try to get better, blah, blah, blah. I had one guy respond. But in return for his response, he almost demanded, you need to go and look at my stuff and tell me what you think about it. Because I told you what you think about yours. And then no one else. Just that one guy. And it's been up there for about 5 or 6 days. And it's weird because the other people who post stuff, and I don't want to say they're worse than me, but one of them is literally stick figures. Uh-huh. He's getting more comments. But I noticed that guy, he's been registered on the forum for a while. He has over 11,000 posts. So it's people he knows. It's internet friends telling him, hey, good job, you know, random stranger. Good job. But this other guy, we don't know whose stuff may or may not be interesting, better, different, whatever. We will shun him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Pencil Jack. There's another comic book podcast I listen to, 11 O'Clock Comics. They have a forum with an art section. Posted there. One guy saying, I don't know anything about art. You should wait for some of the other guys to post. And then nothing. No feedback. The only thing it would cost people is time. And nothing. Nothing.
Once again, you're drawing, you know, you are working. I seem to fear my desk lately. I fear it. I'm too burnt out from my paying job. I didn't want to go near the desk.
Do you need to move the desk?
No, I think the desk, you know, I don't think it matters where the desk would be. I get these ideas in my head, usually before I go to work. And then during work, I come home and I'm so burnt out from work that I don't want to do anything.
Well, your job is a little more physically demanding now than it used to be.
Yes. And then, but, you know, just my mind is gone. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm still feeling the effects. And I just kind of don't want to do anything until I go to work. So I'm in this terrible loophole that I can't seem to get out of. So I feel bad that you're not getting any comments, but I'm also proud that you are actually, you know, continuing to work. If you were to create a studio, your own studio, where you collect artists, would you want them to draw in your style or draw in their own style? So your name's at the top.
Is this going to become some sort of Pat Lee thing?
Well, it's anything. I mean, Pat Lee. I'm not saying they have to ghost you.
Yeah.
Or you ghost them. Or however it was. But I'm talking about, you know, do you want a studio style? This might even be a whole other topic that I might.
I think I would want them to draw differently. That way the studio is diverse enough that we were guaranteed. Okay, let's say there's a group of five people that walk into a comic shop. We want to sell a comic to all five of them. Mm-hmm. Clearly all five of them are not the same person. Ergo, we would need five artists, five writers, five different subject matters. One person like Westerns, one person like science fiction, another person wants comedy, another person is just a big fan of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if everyone drew like Jim Lee, then stories could only be written with Jim Lee art in mind. Scotty Young is the anti-Jim Lee.
Mm.
But could you imagine Scotty Young working on Wildcats?
No, I can't. But if Scotty Young, let's say Wizard of Oz, which once again I'm a big fan of, and the upcoming Wonderful World of Oz just completely takes off, and Marvel says, "All right, now we want a bunch of Scotty Young clones." I mean, look at the Humberto Ramos era.
Yeah, Joe Madden. Remember Roger Cruz?
Oh, Roger Cruz.
You remember him, though.
Oh, yeah. So, that's the thing. I mean, if your style, even independently, okay, so independently, you're doing your own book. You decided to buck the system, and they came to you and said, would you want to take, you know, a hold of another book? Even if you were just writing it, would you still want to do that? Or do you want to stay with your own, you know, your own book?
I would spend time on other properties, but it would be a limited period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Get in, tell the story you have in mind, and then get out. I feel bad for people who are making their entire career based on Spider-Man. Because when they leave, when they're done, it's over. Everything that they've contributed will be rewritten. Somebody will hit the reset button. I'm making myself sad.
Well, I was sad coming into this conversation because of thinking about comics that I want to work on established characters still or work on my own stuff. And A, I would love to work on Robin and the Teen Titans.
But for how long? Or
Fantastic Four. That's the thing. How many stories do I have? But the chances of me getting into the comic book field make me sad because it seems farther and farther away from me the older I get. And then two, the other sad part about coming into this conversation was the fact that I haven't done much lately. I think I know I can. At least I used to. And whoever that other Justin was that was able to do it must still exist. But it's not. I can't seem to get that person back. That drive I had is stalled. To keep using the cars.
I got a second drawing board here in my house. We could drag the two of them together and give each other crap while we draw. If you think that would help? You should draw more. I think. Complete seriousness, complete honesty, you have a much better chance of getting a gig than I do. Your style is more diverse. It's much more mainstream. And when you're on, you're on. And when you're properly motivated, when you're going, you're quick, you're concise, your storytelling's good. But when you're off, you're off.
Yeah, I'm off right now. I do want to talk, and I appreciate your compliments, and I will return a compliment back. Not that you asked me to. Unnecessary, but something I was driving, and you popped in my head about your storytelling and how your storytelling has vastly improved over the last year. It's just that there's a change in, and I said one day I hope that we talk about the writing styles, how you write, because I want to see if that's relates to it, but your artistic side has really improved.
Thank you.
I was going to say I enjoy looking at your clobber stuff more than the other stuff that you used to work on.
Well, with the clobber stuff, I've been able to pace it out the way I want to pace it out, and. I'm not saying I wasn't allowed to do what I wanted before because I still have quite a bit of control. But with the clobber stuff, I'm not rushing because I don't have a set end date. Previously, it'd be like, okay, this is coming up. We got to get this done for this. We got to get this done for this. And I want to update the website needlessly. One of the big things I think that ruined the previous website was just my want to say, hey, we got to show people we've done something. Let's hurry up and throw together an 8-pager and a 10-pager, a 12-page, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we would hastily throw something together just to say we got something done. Not so concerned over the content. And with Clobber, the more I do, the more concerned I am with the content. But I don't want my concern for the content to slow me down so much. Does that make sense? I don't want to overanalyze. I don't want to overthink. I don't want to overwrite. I want to keep moving forward, but I want to keep moving forward, not moving lateral, not moving diagonal.
No, yeah, it makes sense. And doing the 2 pages seems to work. It becomes, funny enough, it becomes your cereal, your version of cereals.
It's my Wednesday comics.
Yeah, tiny chapters, you know, all forming a whole in the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, why don't you do something like that? Set up smaller goals. Don't see it as a complete mini. Don't see it as an 8-page story. Break it down into scenes.
I guess because I want to put it on, and I know in our last podcast we talked about saving stuff for the convention, but I miss the kick out of the monthly comic book and the rush, you know, to get together.
Well, yeah, your monthly long-term goal could be 8 pages, but I think you may have just figured out mathematically there. 2 pages a week. You know, 1 page every 2 days.
I know. And, yeah, but when I was doing Gemini, I would sometimes do several pages, you know, a week.
Yeah.
That's
part of what I was saying about you being on.
Right.
Because, like, during the last convention, boom, you cranked out that, what was it, the third issue?
Yeah.
Because you knew something was coming up. You got excited. You had purpose. You had a goal. You could see the end of the tunnel, and you're like, here, it's coming. I got to be ready. So you cranked it out real quick. And right now, there's not anything going on like that. So you know it's not a necessity.
I did the Free Comic Book Day issue right after that.
Yeah, because you knew Free Comic Book Day was coming up.
Yeah.
But now here we are. Oh, August is coming up. Well, is August enough to motivate you?
It should be because, well, it's not a... If it was August 2012, yeah. That'd be 10 years. 10-year mark. But I can't find anything special about a 7-year mark.
I try to find something special. It's like every 2 weeks. I think the longest I've gone between clobber pages has been 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of, you know, other things that were going on in your life.
Yeah. Well, I try to allow for vacation and stuff like that.
I missed those 2 weeks, too. I was sad. I would go to your website.
And I'm sorry. I'd like to say I could show them to you before I post them, but I post them right after I have my wife spell check them.
Oh, that answers that question.
Which is?
Who spell checks your stuff?
She spell checks it, but she doesn't really edit it. Because I don't always tell her what's coming on the next page. So she doesn't know if anything is going to get explained or all wrapped up nice and neat. She just looks at it and she says, well, that word isn't a word. Those words don't make sense strung together the way you have them here. Individually, they're perfectly fine. Uh-huh. That's it. There was a guy I worked with I would talk about my ideas with. He wasn't an editor so much. He was just kind of a springboard. And it got to the point where I thought maybe he was reading too much into what I was doing. He's trying to anticipate what was going on. So I don't really tell him what's happening next.
I was reading an old issue. Issue 27, 28, whatever. Anyhow, this one character goes, have. And I'm like, have? How did I miss that 3-4 years ago? I'm like, oh, well, there it is.
Was it a hard return? Like have on one line, then hard return have on the other?
It was just have. It was just, I just meant to put one have, and I accidentally put it twice.
I think in one of my earlier pages of Clobber, there was a capital V just in the middle of something. It's from where I copied and pasted. And instead of hitting control V, I hit shift V.
Oh, man.
I have gone back and fixed that. But there were little things like that.
I'll find
that in stuff I write at work.
Yeah.
That I'll have random, you know, the capital V's or C's from where I'll move things around in a script or change the flow of the punctuation.
I used to get so mad because every month I would find a new a mess up. And I would go, no, it was perfect this next month. And then I would find another screw up.
I think most people, your average readers, they correct things in their head.
Oh, I agree. It's heavy when you've seen those quizzes with like, where they jumble up the letters. As long as the first and last letter are correct, you can jumble up the middle ones. And the readers will usually fix.
They'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
See, this all makes me wonder, like, presentation-wise, breaking into comics, do they look for complete and total perfection? Because that's not realistic, and it's not what they get out of the people they're paying. So out of the people that they're considering paying, do they hold them to greater standards than the people that are currently on the payroll?
You know, I used to think about this a lot. Back when I was a little more idealistic about getting in. I feel like such a grumpy person. I feel like Scrooge nowadays. But I'm hoping to visit by some ghosts. But I thought, it's kind of like going to get a job at a grocery store, and them saying, "All right, we're gonna need you to run a mile in less than 7 minutes."
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you just need to do this. We're never actually gonna, you know, do it. But you know, you just need to be case. Able to do it. Okay, and then you know, yeah. You can do it or you don't do it. So here you are. You have to tell a story without any words as a submission.
Yeah.
And do everything else correctly. And not rely on any text. And then you can get a job.
Oh, you know what? I think Dark Horse still has submission stuff up on their website. They had a sample script for Ghost.
Okay, well, that now here's another thing. Most of the sample scripts suck.
Yeah.
Because they're also relying on words. The
script.
They're like, here's where they say this. You shouldn't. That's not a way to write. The way to write a sample script is to say, Ghost jumps off of the bridge. Ghost swims into the lake, heading towards the arch nemesis, so-and-so. It has to all be in actions. Not yeah. in a. It's that Wolverine script. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
For any readers here, since our readers, listeners, I will do a quick. What year was it?
2002?
Well, no, we met in 2002.
Okay.
So it must have been 2001. Marvel did a submission contest. For Wolverine, which was all the artists would go to Chicago with their artwork showing them drawing the same from the same script. However, the script was pretty lousy.
Yes, even the editor who went over my pages said, he shook his head and he said that this script was not very good.
Yeah.
Because I guess he got tired of seeing people try to draw the impossible. Because that's what some of that stuff was. There's no way you can get five actions into one panel.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Wolverine jumps over everyone, cutting off...
One of the guy's hoses.
The hoses.
Which sets everyone else on fire.
Right.
And that was like page 3, panel 7 or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
So here we all show up to this convention in some kind of weird... once again, go back to DC reference, Crisis Infinite Earths, where we all have similar looking things. They're just a little different from each other.
Yep. Did you talk to the people that were in front or behind you?
Occasionally. I tend to get stuck in line with know-it-all, so I try not to talk to too many people.
See, I was talking to everyone around me. We were looking at each other's pages. We were commenting. It was probably more beneficial for us to talk to each other than it was to talk to that editor. I see other people with hobbies. They seem fine because they don't expect their hobby to become a job. Do you ever think about that? There's a guy that works with my wife. He makes trains. He makes little model trains. He's perfectly happy with that. You know, he molds the trains, he paints them, he makes little trees, and he's tickled shitless because he doesn't have the illusion that one day he will work for a model train company.
There is that. I think it's so funny because I think about this stuff a lot where, you know, I look at people I work with and they might be frustrated at work, but then they go home and they're fine. I go home and I'm more frustrated because I'm trying to do something to get a different kind of money.
Yeah.
And And like back to your train guy, he's just happy doing those trains.
Yes.
You know, that relaxes him. Where instead there's no pressure of why haven't I done the train thing yet? Maybe I should just go start painting real trains for a living. Yeah. And I'm being turned down by every train company.
Train painter.
And then you'd see that guy coming to work and he'd be frustrated and feel depressed and feel kicked down. Because not only is he doing something he doesn't want to do, but he can't do something he does want to do.
So that just makes me sadder.
Well, this is not a happy-go-lucky podcast tonight.
Oh, God, no. We need the mic factor.
By the end of this, I'm going to put like some shotgun going off sound effects.
We'd like to thank everyone for listening and really hope that all of you find meaning and purpose in your life.
Because we have it. What is that Kool-Aid? Bottom line is, I would love to work on my characters only because of control over what I can do.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned earlier, to kind of sidestep into the other universes as well. Maybe just write those or do covers or, you know, do something creative with the other characters, all while being able to use, you know, do your own work.
Yeah.
To, you know, play in the other sandbox just for a little bit.
Well, I've heard more and more lately about people with original graphic novels getting picked up by the likes of Top Shelf and Oni.
Uh-huh.
So that's really what I'm focusing on with Clobber, and whatever I do after that will be something written a longer format with, you know, a definite beginning, middle, and end, and submitting them off to not smaller companies, but companies that actually will take a look at us, that consider us viable options. See, I think some of those smaller companies, you may get a chance. Like right here, I'm looking at the latest issue of Doctor Who, and not to knock the artist in it, I'm sure he's a nice guy, a gentleman and a scholar, but frankly, I don't care much for the art. The writing is stupendous, that's why I bought it, and I also like the character Doctor Who, but I've seen better art. I'm not saying I could do better art. I'm saying I could do different but comparable art, storytelling-wise. This guy got a job.
So if you won a bunch of money from the lottery, would this be the first thing you would do, which would be to create your own comic book company?
Not a company so much. Maybe an imprint through Image.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I don't really have a head for business or anything like that. And Image seems to already have... I mean, clearly they have distribution set up. They have their rights thing taken care of. So I'm assuming they have some sort of legal associates they would steer you towards. If tomorrow... Well, how much money are we talking?
A lot.
I guess if I had semi-unlimited money, then yeah, I would set it home, draw my comics, and pay somebody to set them up in a book format and ship them off to be printed. But I think I would still stick through one of the big companies.
Hmm.
Like a Dark Horse or an Image. It's the name recognition. I mean, when's the last time you bought a comic from a company that really doesn't exist? You need to do it yourself, I think, before you can do it for other people. Do it for yourself before you can do it for other people. That may be the way to break in, is to have already broken in. Which, at that point, just give me a couple of months and I'll have something worth breaking.
I totally agree with you, Bruce. This is the saddest podcast I've ever recorded.
And
That's it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a failure.